How many of you know that we are very blessed? We are a blessed people, amen? And it's so good to be able to come together to worship freely. A few things we want to make you aware of. Today is our annual business meeting. So once a year, we have a meeting. We kind of fill you in on finances of the church and things going on in the church. Today, we are going to share some changes that are coming to our organizational structure. So if you're interested in those things, we would love to have you stay. We're also voting on two positions on the Board of Trustees. So if you are a member of the church, you're able to vote. If you're not a member, we'd still love you, love to have you stay and just get filled in on what's going on and hear all of the information. So everyone is welcome to stay right after church. We are going to keep that, I'm speaking in faith, to less than an hour. So I'm believing. Can you believe that with me? We're going to keep it to less than an hour. All right. Also, we do have a membership class coming up. So if you would like to become a member of the church so that you can participate in the voting processes and things like that, you can join us on February 10th at 10 a.m. and go through that process. It's a short meeting. We just go over the organization of the church, the doctrines of the church, what we believe, and give you a chance to ask any questions. So if you want to be a member, we'd love to have you join us. But whether you're an official member or not, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a member of the church, right? So that's how we believe here. Also, for all of you young adults, again, that's ages 17 through 30, we are doing quarterly get-togethers with you. So Pastor Joe and I are inviting you to our house, and that'll be on February 11th at 12:30. So put it in your phones, save the date, make plans to join us, invite your friends, the more the merrier. So all of you young adults, lunch with us. I know we're old, but we can still be fun, right? So lunch with us on the 11th. And my last announcement for all of you married couples, there's a marriage conference coming up. This is every year. Our district puts this on. It is very good. Pastor Joe and I have went every year that they've had it, and it's a very good conference. So if you are married, we highly recommend it. Marriage conferences are not just for people who are struggling with marriages. Amen? It is an investment in your marriage, so it can stay healthy if you are healthy. If you're thinking about getting married, then you can come as well. We would recommend not sharing a room. Let's keep things holy, amen? But you can come to the conference and get the information. Brother Rich, who was here a few months ago and preached for us, him and his wife are doing the sessions, and it's going to be powerful. So again, if you have friends, it's open to anyone. It's not just Pentecostal Church of God, anyone who wants to go until they fill up. So the cheapest rate to get your room and your tickets is through the end of January. There's a QR code on the door, so if you want to register, check that out. It'll be a good, good time. We have lots of things going on all the time. I don't go through all of them, so be sure to check out our website. We have a form at the back table that kind of goes through everything for a couple months, so we want you to get involved in as much as you can and be part of the body of Christ, part of the community, right? Everyone say community. Because we are building a faith community here. Amen? Amen. At this time, Brother Ryan is coming with our call to worship scripture, and we encourage you all, get in today and do what God wants you to do.
Good morning. You know, we talk about family a lot here at the Lighthouse, and I'll be honest with you, that was something I wasn't that comfortable with when I first started coming to church here. I just wanted to come to church. It's all I wanted to do. And then you realize when you're in a church setting with like-minded people and you start feeling that connection with people, and then there's an opportunity for them to show you that they care about you more than just somebody you go to church with, that bond starts growing and you start creating a connection. And I have a friend of mine that's, his mom passed away a couple weeks ago, and I work with him, and he's a faithful man. Well, they had a celebration of life for his mom yesterday, and I tried to make it down there. I just wanted to stop down and, you know, just let him know I loved him. And when I got there, it was kind of different. It was more like a celebration of life than a funeral. They had music playing, people standing around talking, and I got a chance to talk to my friend, and I said, well, you had a pretty good turnout today, it looks like. And he kind of got teared up, and he said, yeah. He said, family's amazing. There was well over 100 people there. And I realized he wasn't talking about his biological family. He was talking about his family. And the Bible says we rejoice when they rejoice, and we weep when they weep, when we're family. And it got me thinking about, you know, families have struggles sometimes. I understand that. But the biggest thing that can destroy a church family is comparison. And Bob said, It's not normal to have this many people be able to get together to celebrate the life of my mother and not have to worry about any competition, any comparison, any judgment. He said there, it was just, he said, I made it, made sure everybody knew that, that it was amazing that they could be so family. And I wanted to read something out of that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, because when you're talking about family and building a faith community and building a family of people that may not be your blood relatives, you have to be careful not to compare yourselves to each other. Pastor Derry said in one of our leadership meetings, he said, you're either completing or competing. And the Apostle Paul had this problem in the church at Corinth. And in chapter 10 of the second book of Corinthians, beginning in verse 12, he says, for we don't dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. But in measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves to themselves, they lack understanding. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the area of ministry that God has assigned to us, which reaches even to you. For we're not overextending ourselves as if we had not reached you, since we have come to you with the gospel of Christ. We're not bragging beyond measure about other people's labors, but we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged, so that we may proclaim the good news to the regions beyond you, not boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry, so that the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. For it is not the one that commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And I thought, if we're not focusing on each other and trying to outdo each other all the time, or trying to make ourselves some kind of a level of measure for other people, and we're focusing on the Lord, and we're all focusing on the Lord, and we're like-minded in mind and spirit, how large could this family ever become? It could reach to the regions. It could reach the world, and we become one family. So I don't know. That was just on my heart. That's a little longer than I normally do this morning, but I just felt that this morning after last night, that the Apostle Paul's heart was just to be in one like mind and one spirit and preach the gospel to extend to the regions. And that's what we have the hope here to do, that we preach the gospel. Amen. So love one another and preach the good news. And don't compare yourselves to each other, because we're all supposed to be focusing on the Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you'd stand with me now, we'll pray over the tithes and offerings. The ways to give will be on the screen. Lord, we thank you this morning for being present in this house with us, Lord, that you just convict our hearts, Lord, to be more like you and less like us, Lord, that we would stand strong together in the faith and boast only in the Lord, that we would love one another and show compassion to one another and just be more like you, Lord. Lord, we ask right now that you bless this offering. You bless those who give, bless those that receive, Lord, that it would be sown into the kingdom of heaven for your good and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Different than what I am right now, and I only have God to thank for that. Amen. Creations in you. And God, I declare that when the enemy comes against us and tries to remind us who we used to be, that we will stand up and say, not anymore. In Christ, I am a new creation. God, I thank you for new creations. I thank you for new ways of thinking. I thank you for new ways of feeling, that we are becoming more and more like you in Jesus' name.
A house of prayer. So during the last song that we were singing, the Lord started giving me an image of when the Lord was crucified. And Peter had went back. He went back to what he knew, which was fishing, right? Because at times in our lives, the Lord was showing me that when he delays, or when we think he's delaying, we go back to what we knew. So what he is saying to this church today is there is coming a great falling away. Now, it's not the falling away of your faith. It's a falling away of those things that have kept you from stepping forward into where he is calling. However, he is asking you to not go back to that comfort, to not go back to that thing you knew. He is asking each one in here that has a promise in your heart to step out in faith and let him prune that which he needs to prune. So whatever the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind right now, the Lord is asking you to give that to him, to trust him. Because if you remember, when the Lord came back, he restored Peter. And look what Peter did, the mighty great works that he did after the Lord ascended. So whether you need to come up here or whatever it is, give to the Lord what he is asking. He is placing something in your heart and in your minds right now. And he does not want you to return to that comfort zone, because he says to you today, he has greater things awaiting you.
Thank you. Here. Keep playing that part over and over again. You need to hear the word of the Lord this morning that's spoken to us. First of all, I want to say this to you in a very pastoral way. Let us never take for granted when the Holy Spirit's gifts are moving amongst us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are coming from the heart of God, for him to speak to his people, for him to demonstrate to his people and the world who he is in all his power and glory. And so we should never ever get to the point where we gather together in a service and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, whatever nine gift that may be. This morning a prophetic word came forth and just go, oh yeah, that's what we do. No, this is what God does, and God is here with us, and God is speaking to us. And God is giving us a word. First of all, the prophetic word contained a word of knowledge, and also it contained a word of wisdom. Many times, the gifts of the Spirit operate together. So we saw three things taking place in one. The prophetic word coming forth, God's word being spoken to us, but then there was a word of knowledge so that we know that God knows where we're at. Just like the woman at the well, when Jesus began to reveal to her, God knew right where she was the whole time, everything that she was going through. But then there was a word of wisdom or a word of direction that came after God's telling us that he knows where we are. He knows right where we are. He knows what we're feeling. Feels like things are being taken from us. Things are being pulled away from us, and we don't know what to do. And Peter didn't know what to do, so Peter committed the sin of familiarity. Peter ran back to that which was comfortable, the thing that he knew, what was familiar to him. And instead of following Jesus forward, Peter ran back to what was comfortable and familiar. And when we are being pruned, our flesh, the carnality of who we are, wants to run back to what's familiar, what's comfortable. Well, this is what I used to do, and this is what made me feel better. And we make it all about ourselves. And we forget that God has given us a purpose in this earth, that we're supposed to continue to follow him and move forward with him. It's not about us being comfortable in the situation. A pruning is never comfortable. And it just so happened that this morning as I was praying in my own private prayer time and reading, that I was reading in John chapter 15, verse 2. And it's a powerful statement that Jesus gives to his people when he says this: every branch that is in me that doesn't bear fruit, I cut it off. And every branch that bears fruit, I prune. You know what that means? Everybody's getting cut. Ouch. That kind of destroys our hyper grace mentality that we have. Like, oh, God just wants us to feel good about ourselves. No, every branch that abides in the vine is getting cut one way or the other. If we bear fruit, we're getting pruned. If we don't bear fruit, we're getting cut off. I would rather bear fruit and get pruned than get cut off. So what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, thank God, we should celebrate this, as He sees us bearing fruit. Because He didn't give us a warning that He's cutting us off. The Holy Spirit said to us, no. There's some things getting cut off of you that are a distraction. They're dead weight you're carrying. You don't need them anymore. That was only for that previous season of your life. And I've moved you into a new season, and now that thing that's hanging on you is dead and it's not being fruitful, but you are fruitful. So don't get distracted. Don't commit the sin of familiarity and run back to the things that are comfortable and easy. Don't come into this house when we gather together and go, well, you know what? If everything is flowing the way I like it, yeah, then it's easy for me to lift my hands and worship Jesus. But when it's hard, I'm just going to sit in my seat. When I've had a rough week, I'm just going to hang out here and just be thankful. They should just be thankful that I made it. Wow, really? It's not about Pastor Joe, Pastor Alicia, or the worship team, or our leadership team. If you come to church for that reason, you're coming for the wrong reason. It's about coming to be with God, with His family that you've already heard about this morning. How dare we come in here and have attitude with God and say, well, you know what? I'm just going to do my same old this morning because that's what's comfortable, because you don't know the week I've had. No, God's deserving of our praise and glory and honor. And you say, well, why are you making it about church? Because when we can do it in these four walls where the presence of God flows freely, then it will prepare us to do it outside of these four walls. And that's where the world needs to see it. He makes all things new. So the thing that you're losing, that you're holding on to, that you're so desperately saying, I can't let go of because it's so important in my life, what you don't realize is God wants to give you something new in its place, because that thing's old and it's dead. I think in one place in the Bible, it's called dead works. Why is it dead? Because there's no faith in it anymore. It's become automatic to you, and it's comfortable, and you're not even doing it for God, and you're not using your faith when you're doing it anymore. It's just what you do. It's become routine to you. So God is removing it from you. You see, for 3.5 years, they followed Jesus, and that all of a sudden became very easy. Oh, I got this down now. We go into a city. We prep the city. We make it ready for Jesus. We watch out for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we know when the bad things are going to happen. We got this down pat now. We got it, and we just know that Jesus is going to start going from city to city to city to city. He's going to conquer everything. Now, and in that moment, when they had it all down pat, they thought they had it all figured out. That's when He's like, no, guys, this time I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And they're like, huh. That's funny, Jesus. Don't say that. No, that's what I'm doing. It was taken, the thing that became comfortable to them was taken away from them, and Peter ran back to what he used to be because he didn't understand what God was doing. Let us not go back to where we were in 2022, because it's not like 2023 here in 2024. You following me? God's removing some things that worked in 2023, but that's not needful in your life anymore, because He's taking you to a new level of His glory, and He's got to cut some things off of you so He can take you there, because there's going to be new growth. How many have ever seen a fruit tree that's been pruned? And the next year after it's been pruned, it's like, and fruit's hanging everywhere. This is what God wants to do to us. But we have to allow Him to do it, and we can't fight it. So we're going to sing this again. And what I want us to do as a church and individually is see God removing those things that you already know. You already know. He's already been talking to you about it. That you need to just, it needs to be out of your life now. He's removing those things. And I want you to thank him that he's making all things new. And he's making room for more growth in you. Let's sing it again. You make all things new. Ready? Yes, Lord. We give these things to you right now. We give these things to you right now, Lord Jesus. We submit the dead weight to you, Lord. We're not carrying them anymore. Even when it hurts, God, we're releasing it. Room, you're making things new, Father. We thank you for that right now. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Sing it again. Your hands right now. We thank you, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in us, even when it feels like it hurts. Even when it feels like that thing was so needed in our life and now it's missing. God, you're making room for us to grow. Father, I see you doing a work in this church right now, that as you're pruning things off of us, it's making room for other branches to be grafted into us. And you're even cutting the wedge in us and digging about, and it hurts, but it's because you're making room for people to be grafted into us so that we can bear fruit, even of a different kind. There's aspects of us, God, that we have not bore fruit in very well. Aspects of the fruit of your spirit that we've struggled with, and you're cutting in us and notching. And there's a wrapping, and you're putting your salve on us, Lord, to heal it. I see it right now in the spirit, so that we can be developed and grow other things in us. It may be hurtful right now, Father, but we give you thanks for what you're doing. We receive it because we know your plan's perfect. Your will is right. It's holy. And even when it doesn't make sense to us, God, we trust you in it. We trust you in it because we know it will make sense. Will make sense to us, Lord. You're making room in us to grow more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, we see. We hear, we know the attacks of the enemy. The kingdom of darkness is trying to stifle us, trying to distract us, trying to get us to give up, trying to get us to just go back to what we used to be. But God, we're standing our ground in faith. And having all we can do to stand, we stand. We stand in you, Christ. For you are the helmet of our salvation. You are the belt of our truth. You are our breastplate of righteousness. You are the preparation of the gospel of peace that we put on our feet. You are our shield of faith. Our faith is in you. You are the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We stand in you. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us right now. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us right now. We will not be distracted by the works of the darkness. the things, the shadows, the shiftings, the things where it makes it seem like it's one thing and it's another. We're not even worried about that, God. Our focus is upon you. And we know you're doing something great. You're preparing us for something great. And we receive your work right now with thanksgiving. Come on, give him thanks. Give him thanks in the hardships. Come on, thank him when it's tough. Praise him when it's tough. He's worthy of his praise. It's his praise, it's his glory, it's his honor. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, even when you reap your fruit, God, even when you reap your fruit, this is something we struggle with. When people are taken home, we struggle with death, don't we? We struggle with it so much, but even when he reaps his fruit and takes it unto himself, we praise you in that, Father. We praise you in that. We give you all the glory, Lord, for we know that you're working things out. You're doing things in us. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, you need to realize what God's doing right now. You need to get a hold of this. I'm not saying you need to be shouting, running the aisles. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to get a hold of this sovereign moment, this sacred moment that God's doing in us right now. He's speaking to us. May not be church as usual, church as what we're used to, but God is speaking something so direct to us right now that you need to grasp this and prepare your hearts and make them ready to handle it. Do not commit the sin of familiarity. Do not treat the things of God as common. God is doing something special in us. And yeah, it may not look supernatural. It may not be awe-inspiring. It may not feel like God opened up the heavens and came down. But God is doing something so specific in us right now. It's a sacred moment. And you need to leave this place knowing that in faith. Because I'm telling you, some of you are going to be cut this week. And you say, I've already been cut. Pastor, yeah, I know, but the pruning's not done yet. You need to trust God through the process because he's doing it for our good, for our benefit. Because remember, when we get through the pruning season, then comes the growth season. Hallelujah. Can you thank God for the pruning season? Can you thank him for it? Can you thank him for it? Come on, thank him for it. Those of you that are seasoned Christians, you know how good this is right now. You're just so thankful for what God's doing right now. So let's teach the other ones how to be thankful for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel joy welling up in my soul for what God is doing in us right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Even in the hard times of life, you're with us. Even in the difficult times, God, you're still moving and working. Your work is never done in us. I'm so grateful for that, Father. I'm so grateful for that, Father. Hallelujah. We give you praise right now. Now, Father, you see the concerns on our hearts. You see the people that we're concerned for, the people we've been praying for. Seems like it's only getting worse. God, you see what's going on. You see what we're feeling towards that, Lord. And we just offer our feelings up to you right now concerning these people, concerning our healths. Lord, the things that the enemy's trying to come against us in our health, that's just a distraction. I thank you that you've made us whole, that you're our healer, that you're moving, and you're healing bodies right now. You're healing souls right now. You're healing spirits right now. Lord, we see the things that are taking place in our nation. All of the confusion, the frustration, the hate, the anger, Lord. I thank you that you've put us here as a beacon of light, that's a beacon of hope that shines Jesus in the midst of darkness, Lord. Help us keep shining even when we don't want to. Help us to keep shining even when it's not comfortable. Help us to keep shining even when it's not convenient. Move in your church, Lord Jesus. Move in your church, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We submit all these things that are on our hearts to you right now as petitions and requests, Lord. We've already come and lifted you up. We've already came and acknowledged your greatness, your holiness, your righteousness, Lord. We're submitting ourselves to you as we submit these requests to you, God, knowing that you will do with them what you need to do with them. And our trust and our faith is in you alone, Lord. So we take our hands off, we shut our mouths, and we speak when we hear you say speak. Unless we hear you say speak, we don't say anything, Lord. We're not going to do anything unless we hear you tell us to do it, God. We're submitting these things to you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 I can't stress this enough to you, church. Be prepared. Be ready this week. There's going to be noise made. There's going to be distractions made. He comes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He can only devour those who get filled with fear by his roar. But when you remember and you take the boldness of the Holy Spirit and you remember that you walk with the lion of the tribe of Judah and some little roar can do nothing to you, then you're going to be okay. So walk in faith this week, church. Walk in faith this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't it amazing how he speaks to us, stirs within us? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been able to make it out, I encourage you to go back and watch on YouTube. We've been dealing with stewardship and for a long time now, and the last several Wednesday nights, we've been talking about stewarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life, and it's important. It's important that we do that. Me and Pastor Alicia just came from a conference this weekend. Our fellowship, our organization, holds a conference every year called Encounter Conference. They do it three different locations, and we were in Indianapolis. That's the closest one to us, and a minister made a statement that's been stirring in my heart. It's not scripture necessarily, but it does go along with the word of God. And I'm just going to give it to you and let it just settle and stir in your spirit as well. He said, presentation without demonstration is an abomination. Presentation without demonstration is an abomination. And some of you may be like, what in the world does that mean? Well, look up the words, presentation, demonstration, and abomination. Basically, what we have to understand is the church has got really good at presenting things, but we've forgotten how to demonstrate it. And when I heard that, I felt a shift in my spirit. It's like, man, that's so true. We still have the demonstration. The gifts were moving this morning, right? And we can pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, aren't we so Pentecostal? Yeah, but what about outside the church? Are we demonstrating anything outside the church? Or are we just presenting? Are we just trying to present our argument to get people to agree with our argument, to believe the same way we believe? Or are we giving them the good news and then demonstrating the good news to them? And I think that we need to challenge ourselves as we are walking through this new year to do that. Amen? Got a couple people who came in agreement. So here's the great thing about that. The Bible says that where just two of us will agree on anything, it will be done. So praise God that I got another person that's in agreement with me. And whether you like it or not, we're going to see God's power demonstrated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to dismiss the students to go to their classes. We have a nursery for your babies. I think that's 0 to 3, is it? And then we have a primary class, preschool class, I mean. And then we have our Firehouse Kids this morning and our teen class this morning. And we want to make those available to your kids, not to babysit them, but to teach them. Can I get an amen on that one? So be it, right? That's what amen means. So be it. Well, I'm excited about what God is doing in this church. I'm excited to share this word with you this morning. And we're going to go into it here. And I'm going to do my best not to go an hour this morning. But that's difficult when I start reading scripture. So you pray for me. Because it's 11 o'clock and I could easily preach till 12 on this. How many know that when something's in you, it's a part of you? And because it's a part of you, it becomes part of who you are. And so you can just do that, right? And the goal as Christians is to study the Word of God so much it becomes part of us. Now listen, my identity is not a preacher. It's not my identity. My identity is not a pastor. That's what I do. That's the what, but it's not the who. Who should be Jesus? Can I get an amen on that one? Got a few more people. Good. You're starting to wake up. Who is Jesus? That's what's the who in me. That's where I find my identity. And I am a child of God. For me, I am male, so I am a son of God. For you that are female, you are daughters of God. That's who we are, right? But what we do should reflect who we are. So if you say that you're a child of God, but you do not reflect God in what you do, maybe you've misinformed yourself. Smile at me. Maybe you have deceived yourself. And so it's important that we begin to understand these things. And so as we've started out this new year, we've started with our theme for the whole year, building a faith community. And I preached the first message, and we declared to you, who is Christ? And that's what I dealt with a lot of as I was trying to open up. It's difficult to be the opening speaker because you're trying to let everybody know what this whole theme is about, but also hone in on the first subject. And listen, the foundation is Jesus Christ, right? And if we don't have Jesus, then we don't have anything. It'll all crumble and melt away. And so we dealt with who is Christ. Or if you remember, he asked the question, who do you say that I am? And I ask you that question, and I hope that for some of you, that's kind of kept you up at night. Because if you don't know, you need to know. And you need to get to the point where you know who you say Jesus is, amen? Where it's stirred within your heart. And then last week, Pastor Alicia gave us a great word about who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? And there's some things that I wanted to just remind you of that she talked about that is pivotal for the next step in the message this morning. And she talked about letting go of what hinders us. And if we hold on to the things that hinder us, then it holds us back from our identity in Christ. So regret, offense, or bondage, those are things that we cannot hold on to because it affects our identity, and it begins to mix our identity with those things and Jesus. And how many of you know that we don't need to mix Jesus with anything? It's Jesus plus nothing. So anything plus zero is that thing, right? One plus zero is? One plus zero is? Two plus zero is? Yes. So Jesus plus zero is? Jesus. We don't mix Jesus with anything. And so that's why we have to let go of regret, offense, and bondage. I think it's really important that we stress the part regret. Some of us rehash things so much. We regret things so much that it holds us back from moving forward. And those are partly those things that are dead weight on you that God's wanting to prune off of you. It's regret. Oh, man, I wish I would have done it this way. I wish I would have had this happen. I wish I would have said this when this person said this. And I wish I wouldn't have reacted this way. And we play it over and over and over in our head like a broken record. And that's not giving God any glory. And we think that we're debasing ourselves, humbling ourselves by doing it. No. Humility is trust in Jesus. So true humility will cause you to move on and let it go. Man, this is already good preaching. So we got to let go of regret. We got to let go of offense. And many times, because of regret, now we become easily offended. And because we're easily offended, we move into bondages in our life that hold on to us. And we like to name all of the bad ones, right? Addictions of all sorts, sexual sins, perversions. Oh, that's the bond. What about the bondage of gossip? What about the bondage of you simply can't let something go that somebody did to you? That's bondage. Because that offense has festered into something that has held you back. And now it's creating a misnomer in you, something that's not true, and it's affecting your identity in Christ. And so for us to fulfill our individual purpose in Christ, we have to know who we are in Christ. And so it was very important that we have that piece of the puzzle, and Pastor Alicia did an excellent job ministering that to us last week. And this morning, I'm really trying to hurry, folks. You don't even understand. There's all kinds of stuff I can go into this morning. But this morning, we're going to talk about who we are in Christ. Everybody say we. And it's no mistake, Brother Ryan, that you opened the service the way you did. The Holy Spirit was leading you, and I know you thought, well, probably had more to do with you just going to that funeral. No. Holy Spirit is speaking things to us to make things clear to us, that even for people who have the uncomfortableness of words like family in a church setting. Well, they're not my family. And sometimes we have issues with the word family because of our biological family. We don't understand what real family is. I have a good friend of mine that, you know, one of the big words in the church world now is coaching, right? 20 years ago, you didn't hear that, but now they have church coaches and they coach people in church and they use this word coaching. He gets hung up on that word because he had a bad coach when he was a kid. And so every time he hears the word coach, he thinks of that coach and it affects him negatively. Some of us hear family, and because we've had bad family experiences, when we hear about the family of God and church family, it affects us negatively. And those are things that God is cutting off of us. Because family is a good word. So who are we in Christ? This is what we're going to talk about this morning. And I want to go to Scripture. You know me, I'm a Bible person. At a fault sometimes. I probably give you too much Scripture. But I like you to know that what I'm saying, I have backed up by the Word of God. And Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12 is where I want to start. And this is the theme scripture that God gave me as we were building this theme, me and Pastor Alicia together, really praying about this year and what God would have for us. And I was reminded of this passage by the Holy Spirit. And it just simply says this: to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Everyone say building. Building up the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I've just given you a sentence that's in the middle of a statement And it could be confusing. What is equipping the saints for the building up of the body of Christ? What is this about? So I want to visit this just real quickly. The previous verse is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And it's talking about how Jesus Christ himself, as he ascended, he first descended, right? Took Abraham's bosom or paradise, all of those who were awaiting his coming, who died in faith yet did not see the promise. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about those people. He descends and he preaches to them. And I just love this. This is how my mind works. You know, John the Baptist was one of them that had just went down there. And he probably got down there and said, hey, guys, Abraham, Moses, guys, I know you've been waiting a long time, but guess what? I saw him. I saw the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. I proclaim, God, let me proclaim it. So it's not going to be much longer. Just hold on a little bit longer, guys, because he's coming. And then a little while later, all of a sudden, Jesus walks through the door and says, I'm here. And everybody's rejoicing. Everyone's praising God. And the Bible says that he first descended and led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. So before he ascended on high and went back to heaven, he went down and grabbed those people who had been waiting on him. God is not slack concerning his promises. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. And then as he ascends, he realizes and knows that this is the plan, that I'm sending back my Holy Spirit, but I also have to develop structure and organization in my church. And so he gave us leaders in his church called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's what it says right before it says this: to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, we have become so focused, and hear me, please hear me. We must follow the leadership that Jesus Christ gave us, which is what we have coined the fivefold ministry gifts. Those are the leaders of the church. But we've become so stressed on the leadership. We talk about what is the apostle, what is the prophet, what is the evangelist, what is the pastor and teacher, that we leave the congregation thinking that this is the body of Christ. No, that's the leadership underneath the headship. Jesus is the head, right? And the leadership functions underneath the headship so that the body can work and move. Just real quickly, I want to share this thing with you that God gave me years and years ago. The fivefold ministry gifts are like the vital organs of the body. And the vital organs function in the body so that the body can function. They are not the body. They're not the body. But they function within the body so that the body can be healthy and the body can function. So we've been given leadership and organization and structure. Why? To equip God's people to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. So who are we? We are the body. And it doesn't mean that the fivefold ministry is more important. Listen, I am a pastor. God has called me to be a pastor, and I have functioned in many of the gifts of Jesus that he gave the church. There's times where I went places and I was a prophet. There's been times where I've functioned in an apostolic manner. There's times where I've been the evangelist. There's a teaching gift on my life. And so a lot of times, even as a pastor, I'm also a teacher. I've functioned in these things. And Pastor Darius is sitting here. He fully understands what I'm saying. He's flowed the same way over the years. It's what God demands at that moment for what the body needs as a leader at that moment. And I understand that there are people who function in an office. Don't misunderstand me. I'm a pastor, right? But what is a pastor without a congregation? I'll never forget the day I came in here. I didn't think this was going to hit me like this. The whole world was turned upside down by this pandemic called COVID-19. And I came in here to preach a message to an empty building so that we could share that message online to the church, because we weren't going to stop having church. And I was so grateful for the body of Christ, because somebody had the idea to make posters and put up pictures, and everywhere you sit is where your poster was with your picture on it, saying, "Amen, preach it, pastor." What good is a pastor without a congregation? What good is an apostle without churches to oversee? You see, you can't have the one without the other. And so what I'm trying to stress to you is the body of Christ is the importance of this passage. The body has to have the leadership so it can function correctly. The stress is not on the leadership, the stress is on the body, to equip the body to do the ministry so the body can be built up. Are you following me? So we're building a faith community. So who are we in Christ? We are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his arms. We are his legs. We function in the earth because he has ascended back to the Father. And we do this in his spirit, the same spirit he operated in while he was here on the earth, which is Holy Spirit. That's why he poured it out. That's why he told them, "Listen, guys, I know I've prepared you. I've given you 12 apostles. I've set leadership and order with you. But, don't go do what I told you to do. Don't go lay hands on the sick. Don't go speak in other tongues. Don't cast out devils. Don't take up serpents. Don't do any of the things that I told you you're going to do. Don't go into the world and make disciples. Don't do it just yet, because there's a promise coming. And so I need you to wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was the birth of the church. And when that happened, then the head said, 'Now you can be my church.'" So who are we in Christ? That's what I'm talking about this morning. We are laborers together. We are the building of God in himself. And we must understand this, because we've allowed society to tear down the building of God. We've allowed the cultural norms of our day to tear down the body of Christ. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field, God's building." The Apostle Paul is laying things out for us so that we can see. They're likened images so that we can understand who we are. We work with God through his Holy Spirit, as Christ is our head. But we're also his field. It's where he reaps from and gains things from, right? Our body provides nutrients for ourselves so that we can function. But then he likens it to a building, God's building. And he says this: "According to the grace of God given to me," Paul the apostle is saying, "like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So when we think about the body, we think about Jesus being the head. But when we think about the building of God, he is the foundation. You following me? And we talked about this in the first one. "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Jesus builds his church upon himself because he is the foundation. But Paul is warning us to take care of how we let that happen. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said he would build his church. But now we understand through revelation that the Apostle Paul gives us as one of the leaders of the church that we actually have say in this. And that can be a really bad thing. Because if we start depending upon our own wisdom and our own knowledge and our own understanding of how to build something, then we interject ourselves into this. And instead of Jesus building his church, we begin to build his church. Now, this is what I love. We still have the foundation. We can have Jesus as our foundation and build on that foundation with the wrong materials. But I know this. Well, let's keep reading here. It says this. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Interesting. So there's building materials, some gold, silver, or precious stones, but there's also wood, hay, and straw. There's three and three. Gold, silver, and precious stones can handle the fire. They can handle the heat. But wood, hay, stubble, straw, that will burn up in the heat. Let me finish this. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed, everybody say revealed, by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each one has done. I know I read it to you, but I wanted to get it to you again. Because that's saying that as Christ builds his church, going back to last week, he builds his church with people who he has put a purpose inside of them. But you individually have choices that you make, because God has given you free will. And you can build up yourself, who are you in Christ, with gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are the things of God. It's what it's likened to, because when it's tried by fire, it lasts. Matter of fact, most of the time, those types of things, the hotter the fire, the more it's applied to the fire, the more purified it becomes. But if you used wood, hay, or straw, and most of us around here have some of a sense, right, between the difference between hay and straw. It's not the same thing. And you all say you're going on hay rides. This is a pet peeve of mine. It's a straw ride. It ain't a hay ride at all. Ain't nobody want to take a hay ride. It's scratchy and itchy. Straw is bedding. Hay is food. And all the farmers said yes and amen. Wood, hay, and straw. If you build with that, It's really the story of the big bad wolf, right? And the three little piggies. It's the story of that. That's where they got that nursery rhyme from, this scripture right here. But here's what's crazy. We all have the same foundation. We all have the same foundation. It's Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting that when he talks about the building material, we find that it's likened to the things that we receive as gifts for our work here on the earth when we make it to heaven. You see, here's the thing. If you have Jesus, and this is where sometimes we miss it, and this is even hard for this holiness boy to tell you this, okay? Because I believe in living holy. Can I get a witness on that one? Especially in this day and age. The church needs to be a representation of Jesus Christ. We need to live holy. Not everything's okay. There is sin that offends God. But when we have the foundation, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We may not make it with much. We may only have Jesus. And it may be one of those deathbed repentance prayers, but because you got the foundation right, you make it. But that's all you got. But if we build our lives with the material that God gives us, His Word, faith in His Word, trusting Jesus, then we build it with material that actually exists in heaven. And when we get there, we receive a crown of righteousness, and there are rewards that we receive because we worked in the kingdom of God well and we built well. Now, that's where we mess it all up, right? We think sometimes people start preaching works and they think that they're earning their way into heaven. No, Jesus is the gate. He is the door. He is the way. He's the foundation. If you have Jesus, you make it to heaven. But our works after Jesus Christ are judged by Christ. Now, I think He's got a right to judge us because He died for us. He took the punishment of sin on Himself for us. So He judges our works. And if they are wood, hay, and stubble, things of this world that we build with, then they're going to burn up. Nothing's going to last. But if we build with kingdom material, everyone say kingdom material, then we have something that's everlasting, that we move into the kingdom of heaven and we see those. It doesn't earn our way to heaven. Never think that. You're not earning your way to heaven. You cannot do that. Otherwise, that cancels out grace. So we wouldn't need grace, right? No, we have grace. But I want to build a faith community. I don't want to just build a community. I want to build a faith community. So I don't want to use wood, hay, and straw to build a faith community because that will just burn up when times get tough, things get hard, life doesn't go the way we want it to go. Guess what? The building won't last. But if I use the precious gems that God gives us, like love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, did you have to say that one, Pastor? That's just for me, okay? Patience, kindness, gentleness, temperance, or long suffering. Who likes that word? I mean, I don't even like to suffer, let alone it be long. When we build with those things, it's eternal. And no matter what comes at the building of God, it can withstand it. The fire will try our works. How are we building on it? Who are we in Christ? And how are we building it together? Now, I want to read one more scripture here, and I got an illustration, and then I got some things I need to tell you so that you get the identity of who we are. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2, 20 through 22. We're going to read. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. Now, just real quickly, that means the word, okay? Apostles or prophets. The prophets represents the Old Testament, the word that came forth declaring Jesus was coming. The apostles, many of the people who wrote the New Testament were apostles. So it's talking about the Bible, the word of God, how they declared it to us. And what do they point to? The chief cornerstone, or the main corner that everything is built off of, which is Jesus Christ. That's our foundation, right? In whom the whole structure being joined together. Now, this is where we move past just who am I in Christ, but who are we in Christ? Being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working on us and building us together. So, know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit is true. But don't you also know this, that we together are the holy temple of God, built together, working together. And this is where we miss it sometimes, especially in this generation. There are people who are deconstructing from the faith. And one of the first things they do, the first steps they take in deconstruction, is they decide that going to a building and gathering together with other people of like faith is not necessary anymore. Well, you know, I have a relationship with Jesus, so I'm good. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, you think pretty highly of yourself, don't you? Because it also says that we are a building joined together. Hebrews tells us and commands us that we should assemble ourselves together. And even more, as we see the day of the Lord approaching, we should come together because we are the body of Christ together. We need one another. We're built together with one another, right? Randy, I'm going to embarrass you this morning. Will you come up here for me? Come on. Come on up here. Good. I like your Mickey Mouse shirt. I know you've been running Mickey Mouse Cruise for a long time, so I love you, man. I like the Ohio State one better. Right. This guy has been hanging and finishing drywall for 53 years. Yeah, give him a hand. That's work. I mean, I can't believe he ain't walking around like this by now, right? You know? He's from West Virginia, so he's built tough. Listen, he can build something. He's built things. Actually, if you look around this room right now, all that drywall hanging up there, him and his crew did that. They put this up. Yeah. Now, because he's been doing it for 53 years, he's had to learn how to also frame. He paints the drywall he hangs. He's probably done plumbing. A little bit, maybe. Try not to, though, right? Why is that? Because you want to focus on the part that you know, right?
I don't have time.
You don't have time because you're a drywaller. That's what you do. But aren't you a plumber? Come on up here, Cody. Look at this. Come on over here with him. We're going to work together and build this building. We got a framer, a drywall. Who else has done framing work? Jesse? Well, he does something even more special than that, so we're going to hold him off to the end. Anybody else do framework? I've done framing work already. Yeah, come on up here, Josh. Josh is our framer. He's our drywaller. He's our plumber. Yeah, give him a hand. You understand how we're building this thing now? Now, you also do HVAC, right?
Yes.
Heating and air. So now we got our heat covered and our plumbing covered and all that. He's going to plumb in all the duct work and all that. But we got to have lights. Who does electricity? Don't you? Well, you used to. I know. Now you just sit at a desk. Goad you a little bit. Anybody else electrician? Come on, step up here. Here's our electrician. Yeah, give him a hand. He can get all the wires ran and get them connected to the right places so we ain't popping breakers or in the old days blowing fuses. We get the lights turned on so that the heat works and the pump works for the plumbing. And he's going to hide it all so it looks nice, because have you ever seen electricians run things? I'm really picking on you today, and I just kicking on. And he's got the framing down so he can hang drywall so they can put the plumbing in the wall and he can put the electricity in the wall. Now, he paints it also. But anybody else paint? Actually, you used to paint. Come on up here, Nick. I'm going to embarrass you too. He's shaking his head. Used to be a painter. We're going to add as many people up here as we can. Yeah, give him a hand. So we got everything except for what? It may be functional now, but it may look a little ugly, right? Because we don't have the finishing touches. That's what Jesse does. And Jesse has to frame when he wants to, but he's also a finished carpenter. Come on up here, Jesse. He's going to put the wood in. Yeah. Put the trim up. Make it look all nice. You got anybody that lays carpet or used to lay carpet in here? Everybody being all bashful won't raise their hand. Come on up here, Grandpa. I know you've laid carpet before. I've helped you do it. Come on up here. Give Grandpa a hand. Actually, Grandpa's done every one of these things before. Built together. Yeah, another West Virginia guy. Do you see how important we are to each other? And just as Randy said, he ain't got time. He can do it all, but he ain't got time to do it all. And he don't want to do it all. How much better are we together? How much better are we together? How much better are we together? Come on, somebody. How much better are we together? Now, we ain't going to leave the females out. Come on up here, Sister Teresa. She's our janitor. Give her a hand. Yeah. Sister Lois, come with her because you cleaned church for how many years uptown? Come on. Come on. Anybody else clean a church before? Yeah, who doesn't? Join these guys over here. We're not old school women on one side, men on the other. They keep it clean. They keep it organized. They keep it going. We are better together. Everybody say that with me. We are better together. We are. We are the building of God together. Fitly joined together. Interlocked together. We need every part. Every part. And because we've gotten so focused in the last 20 to 50 years on the pulpit ministry, we think that's the church. How unfortunate is that? No, that's a person who helps lead the church and equips the church to do ministry so that the building can be built up together. But this is the church. We work together. We need every person doing something in the kingdom of God. Well, I can't explain the Bible like the pastor does. So what? Guess what I can't do? I can't give your testimony for you. I can't tell people what Jesus did for you. I can, but it doesn't mean as much. I don't have the testimony of being delivered from alcoholism, delivered from drugs. That's not my testimony. I have no idea what it's like to be strung out on drugs. Praise God. But I have no idea what that's like. I've never woke up in my own vomit because I was drunk, passed out. That's not my testimony. But for some of you, that's your testimony. God got you through that. And when you share it, it means more than when I try to tell your story. Because here's the truth. When you tell your story, because you are built up a holy building of God, you're actually telling Jesus' story. Because it wasn't you that got you out of that drunken stupor. It wasn't you that got you out of that high. It was Jesus that rescued you. We need one another. We are better together. Say it again. We are better together. We have to have each other. We are. Who are we? We are Jesus to the world. Every one of you, people see Jesus in what you can do. And even if you're not building a church house, they can see Jesus in what you do. Because you're doing it for Christ. Everything you do, do as unto the Lord. Right? Raise your hand if you're a factory worker. Yeah, go ahead. Raise your hand. You work in a factory. You design something. Raise your hand if you work in an office. Pushing papers and all of that stuff. I could not do that. Oh, my goodness. I could not do that. Raise your hand if you work in food service. Do something with the food industry. Something like that. We got a welder over here, but now he's kind of like Ryan. He just sits at a desk and tells people what to do. What about financial people? Raise your hand. Governmental people, raise your hand. School, raise your hand. Healthcare, raise your hand. You see the impact we have on the world? More of us are doing something outside of this building than inside this building, and that's where you're needed. It's not about what we do inside this building that makes us a building of God. We got people who are driving across in this crazy weather, delivering stuff to people, driving truck. We have all kinds of people. Do you know that when those merchants would go down the road that they got Jesus? You know that was the quickest way that the gospel was shared? It was down those traveling routes where merchants got saved. Their life was transformed and changed. And as they were going to sell their product, they kept telling everybody about Jesus, and it began to spread across the world. It wasn't the apostles. Oh, but we like to talk about the missionary journeys of Paul. No, Paul was establishing churches so more people could go where they could go and tell the story of Jesus. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Give them one more hand. I got to preach and forgot about all you. We are built together for a purpose. Do you understand? We're built together for a purpose, for a reason. We need one another. But when we hold on and don't understand our identity in ourselves and the purpose we have as Christ in ourselves, what happens? We become a singular brick all by ourselves. We have regret and offense, and we're in bondage. And we will not join ourselves to another person, because the last time I did that, that hurt. Because you know they're going to slop that mortar all over me, and it's going to get messy. And then they're going to take that trial, and they're going to be on me to tamp me down in place. Ain't nobody putting me in my place. Ain't nobody doing that. Ain't nobody getting me in up all in their mess and their business. I love Jesus all by myself. Come on. Maybe y'all ain't pastors, you haven't heard that, but I heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot. It's because you're dealing with regret, offense, and it's led to bondage, and now you won't allow yourself to be joined to the us. The us. It's not the me, it's the us. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is something we need to break. In our generation, the me mentality, the I mentality, that everything is about me. No, it's about us. As a pastor, you know what? Sometimes I have to make decisions that kill me. Alicia has to make decisions that kill her. It is so hard for us. You know why? Because we know it's going to affect individual people in a negative way. But as we look over the landscape of the church, we realize it's better for the whole. So we make that decision for the whole, and we trust God to take care of the individual in the process. That's hard. That's really hard because we love those people. But you know what God's helped me understand as one of the leaders of the church? Is that He loves them more than I do. And He'll take care of them. He'll take care of them. And if we can get to the point where we realize that what we're building with, the material that we're building with, is more important than whether we like it or not. You know, I'm more of a silver person. That gold is too yellow to me. So I don't really want to build anything with gold. I know it's worth more. I just don't like the look of it. Yeah, so me and you, we can join teams. Silver team over here, yeah. And we're comparing and we're competing instead of seeing the beauty of the whole and completing. Right? Well, you know, that's just a little too extravagant. I don't know that we should do that. I mean, you know, God is God and all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere. We understand that. That's just a little over the top for the church, don't you think so? I think lumber will be just as good. I'm not talking about the actual building here. Come on. You getting what I'm laying down? Well, you know, I mean, why do people need to dance across the front of the building? That's a little extravagant. Doesn't our God deserve the most extravagant praise we can give Him? And maybe the most extravagant praise you give Him are the tears, because you're not a crier and you ain't crying for nobody. When the power of God hits you, you just weep. That's extravagant for you. But other people are just built differently because they have a different purpose in the building of God. And they go running around the church like crazy people. That's their extravagant worship. But we all come fit together for a reason. For the purpose of glorifying God. Not us. You know, as a pastor, I have to constantly watch. And me and Alicia do this together as pastors of this church. We constantly watch that we're not doing things just because that's the way we like it. Because it's easy as the leaders to say, oh no, this is what we're going to do because that's what we like. No. We want to do what God wants. Hear me? What God wants. Not what we like, what God wants. And so when we come and declare things to you, we're doing it from a place that we've been praying, been seeking God. Many times we've fasted to ask what God wants for this church and this local part of His building. And so there's some things that I want to give to you now. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I already began to lay a phrase that we're going to say all the time around here. Anybody catch it? We're better together. You know, you tell somebody that thinks that they can do it all by themselves, we're better together. You know what, tell somebody that thinks that, you know what, let me just do this one on my own. We're better together. We're going to say that all the time around here. Someone picks up a table and is moving a table and says, no, I got this. Look at them and say, we're better together. If someone is lining up the chairs and say, hey, I got this, you just tell them, listen, we're better together. Right? So this is something you're going to hear us say all the time. It's part of our culture. We need one another. But I want to relay these things to you, and we're going to talk about them again in our business meeting because they're that important. But I want, at the end of this year, every person, me and Pastor Alicia, come on up here with me, darling. Just stand with me with this. Because I feel like this is vitally important. I really am trying to close, but I need to get this across to you. Our mission statement of this church, it's not our mission, it's just the statement that encompasses our mission. I want everybody by the end of this year to be able to say this. It's this: to empower people to share Jesus in our town, state, nation, and world. It's based on Acts 1:8. To empower people to share Jesus, not us, not what we like, not our opinion about church, not our opinion about music in the church, not our opinion about preaching in the church or teaching in the church, to share Jesus. To who? To our town, our state, our nation, and world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Town, state, nation, world. To empower people to share Jesus. That's what we do here. That's our mission. To let people share Jesus with everyone they come in contact with. Our next is this, is our vision. And most of you probably know that it's based on Luke 4:18 and 19. But we've simplified it so you have something to share in a statement. It's to be like Jesus in all we think, say, and do. We're empowering people to share who? And we want to be like who? In everything we think, say, or do. The Bible says that the meditation of our heart and the confession of our mouth. What should we be saying with our mouth? What should we be thinking and meditating on our heart? We want it to please God, right? And all we think, say, and do. Our values that we value here, our core values, is the house, honor, openness, unity, service, and excellence. If you haven't got them by now, you haven't been listening. We share them all the time. We want to honor God first and foremost, and we honor all people, and we honor ourselves. We're open to receive what God has for us, and we're open to receive others and to be there for them and to give them Christ. And we do it unified as the building or the body of Christ. Why? Because we serve God and we do it to the best of our abilities. This is who we are and what we're about. If you haven't noticed, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. We are about Jesus in this place. And I want to read a scripture to you in closing. I promised you I'm closing. I want you to see a picture of what the church looked like after that the Spirit of God fell and moved upon and birthed his church. It says this in Acts 2, 44 through 47. And all who believed were together, everyone say together, were better together. And had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, everybody say together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And guess what the Bible teaches us later on after they were scattered because of the fire, the persecution, the hardships? Not only did they add to the church, but they multiplied the church. Because what they were built of was not wood, hay, and straw, but it was gold, silver, and precious stones. Will we be willing to be built of the things of God and remove the things in our life that are not Him? Because when we join together, if I have a weak point in me because I've built my life with something that I shouldn't have, I weaken the connection with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And now the building of God looks weakened. That's why Jesus has to be the foundation, that way it's strong. But we also have to take account of who each individual person is in Christ so we can understand who we are together in Christ. We need one another. We're better together. And we're going to do it so that Jesus is glorified. Stand to your feet if you would. This is the last thing I have to say. This is another thing that you're going to hear us say all the time because God just laid this on my heart. I've been saying it over and over again. Not only are we better together, but we're loving like Jesus and we're leading like Jesus. We're loving like Jesus and we're leading like Jesus. If someone comes and complains to you about something, well, you know, we're loving like Jesus. I know that person's done you wrong, but we're going to love like Jesus loves. If a leader goes to another leader and doesn't like how we're doing things, well, you know, we're leading like Jesus. Sacrificially, we're leading like Jesus. We're loving like Jesus. We're leading like Jesus. Why? Because we're better together. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, as we continue to lay out this vision and this theme for this year of built together as a community of faith that will exalt you in the earth, that the name of Jesus will be known to the world. God, I pray you'll give us strength, Lord, to do it together. As we rub each other the wrong way, as we are tamped down into place and moved around and shifted, and it's not always comfortable, God, give us grace for one another. Let mercy reign in our hearts and in our minds. Let love win out in all things, because we are better together. Let us love like you, Jesus, and let us lead like you, Jesus. Let us empower people to share Jesus in every part of their world. And let us be like you, Jesus, in everything that we do. Let us look like you, God. Help us remove the things in us that are not of you, that we've built up in our life. And like your word came forth through the gifts of the Spirit, let us remove the things that are no longer needful. And let us not run back to that which is comfortable, but let us run to you, our firm foundation, and stay connected to you. Multiply grace and peace unto this local body of believers, God, as we unite underneath the blood-stained banner of the cross, and we share Jesus with the world. Empower us to be the temple of God, and let people see your glory through us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we move to our business, I want to give opportunity to respond to this word. Like I said,